Genesis chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. So Abraham said to the oldest servant of his house, who ruled over all that he had, "Please put your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But you shall go to my country and to my family and take a wife for my son Isaac." And the servant said to him, "Perhaps the woman will not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I take your son back to the land from which you came?" But Abraham said to him, "Beware that you do not take my son back there. The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my family, and who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he shall send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. And if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be released from this oath. Only do not take my son back there." So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we look to you and we ask that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding. Open our hearts up. Help us to be sensitive to you this evening, to hear your voice. Pray that you pour out your spirit and minister and encourage and convict and strengthen us this evening by your word. And we ask that you give us faith and bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. This evening we're going to talk about blessings. Nice topic. We're going to look at the purpose of blessings from this chapter, what we can glean. We're going to look at the practice of blessings, or maybe a practical life that God blesses, a practice of which God will bless. And then finally, we're going to look at the pathway that leads to blessings, all from chapter 24 here. Notice in verse 1 it says, "Now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things." Abraham, an example of faith. He lived a life of faith. He's considered the father of faith. And here he is, well advanced in age, old, and yet God blessed him in all things because of his faith, because of the life he lived. He was blessed. But I want to look at Abraham. What can we learn from Abraham about blessings? I see Abraham had this quality about him all throughout his life, and I see it here exemplified, and that he didn't hoard or hold on to blessings or treat blessings like they were exclusively for him to enjoy and no one else. Here he's blessed in all things. He's a rich man, a man that God has promised the land to. And yet we see here that he doesn't hoard the blessings. We see that his mind is focused on his son. And he's very aware that all that he has is going to be given to his son. He's not dreading the fact that all his possessions are temporary, but he's looking forward to the time when he can impart and give all of his possessions. And even the promise God gave him was to be for his son also. And we see here, as he comes to his servant, his name may be Eleazar. We read earlier in Genesis that the heir of his house before Isaac was born was Eleazar. But he says, "Swear to me, put your hand under my thigh." That's how in those days they would make a pact with each other, kind of pinky square. They did the thigh square. "Find a wife for my son from my family. Don't let him marry the people here." Thoughtful, trying to, and not that his son would be influenced by the pagan worship of the area. He's seen how Lot got tainted and influenced by the people of the land. He wanted him to remain separate. So looking to preserve his son and set him up for the blessings. Notice in verse 10 it says, "Then the servant Eleazar took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hands." Abraham had this thing, hey man, anything that is mine that would be helpful in this, you use it. He allowed his servant to use all of his goods. No, he didn't withhold anything that he had from his servant. He wasn't a hoarder of the blessings. And we can learn from this, because every blessing God gives us is not just exclusively for us to enjoy. God gives gifts and blessings so that they could be shared and so that many can benefit from them. A couple scriptures to kind of back this concept up. You can turn if you'd like. You don't have to. Romans chapter 12. Verses 4 through 8. Speaking of gifts and blessings, the Bible says, "For we have many members in one, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. But we being members, many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness." All these gifts listed that God gives. Notice the purpose of each gift. You have the gift of teaching, teach other people. The gift of ministry, minister to other people. You have the gift of exhortation, exhort other people. You see the purpose of all the gifts, the blessings that we inherit from God, love. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." Each of us given a gift of the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit, and every single one of us in our gift, the purpose of that is for everyone else, so that everyone can glean and benefit. Abraham models this for us. Now, the Bible teaches stewardship, that everything we have, everything we've been given, and our abilities, our positions, our possessions, our talents, we're stewards of them. God's entrusted them for a purpose, for a reason, and not just for us, but for others' benefit also. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. "For the equipping of the saints, for the working of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ," speaking again of the gifts, see the purposes of them. Equipping the saints, the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Purpose of the gifts we've been given, the blessings we've been given, not to hoard, not to hold on to, but to allow God to spread them and use them broadly, that others would be blessed also. Abraham shows us the purpose of blessings, not just exclusively for us, but for others also. So you think, what blessings has God given you? How can you use those to benefit others, to be a blessing to others? Why did God give you the blessings He's given you, the gift He's given you? He has a specific purpose. He has a reason for that. God gave a lot to Abraham, and he used it wisely many times. And here he used all that he had. He not holding anything back for the purpose of benefiting his son, setting up the future, allowing his servant Eleazar to effectively do the purpose of God, perform God's purpose for his son. So we learn from Abraham the purpose of blessings, how not to hoard but to share. Now we could look at Eleazar, Abraham's servant. What can we learn about him concerning blessings? Here he's on his way to go find a wife for his master's son. He has all his master's possessions in his hand, and here he goes. Read again in verse 7. It says, "The Lord God of heaven, who took me from my father's house," this is Abraham speaking to a servant, "and from the land of my family, who spoke to me and swore to me, saying, 'To your descendants I give this land,' he will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there." Abraham kind of almost prophesies saying here, God's going to go before you. He's going to send an angel. Your way is going to prosper. It's going to be blessed. It's going to be effective. You're going to effectively deliver a wife from my homeland to my son. Learning from the servant, the practice of blessings, practical blessings. What kind of practical life does God bless? Let's read verses 10 through 14. "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when women go out to the water, go out to draw water. Then he said, 'O Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, here I stand by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink, and she says, drink, and I will also give your camels a drink. Let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac, and by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master.'" So here he goes, he makes it to the city, sets up by the well, and he prays, "Oh God, may I find the right one. Let it be that when the ladies come out and I ask one for a drink of water and she gives me water and offers water to my camel, let that be the one." But I see here the first thing that we can learn from Eleazar, the servant, is what kind of a practical life will God bless? And that is, first of all, a life of prayer, that we would pray. We can learn from Eleazar here. He's sent on a mission, and it was, you know, he was going to have success. His mission was going to be blessed. But we see, partially because of the way he did it, he prayed first, "Oh God," asking the Lord for assistance. Oh, that we would pray. That we would pray in all that we do. We would take time to pray, that we would develop our prayer life. Notice how he prays. He doesn't pray in a way that withholds him from going forward in the mission he was sent to do. "Oh God, you know, it's all in your hands. Just force me to do something if you want." He prays actively. "Lord, I'm sent to do this mission, and this is what I ask. Let it be that the woman would come, and I would ask, and let that be the woman." Actively praying with an expectation of answered prayer. Praying with an expectation of responding to God's answer of prayer. We can learn from Eleazar the practice that God blesses. Look at verse 15 through 21. What else can we learn from Eleazar? "And it happened, before he had finished speaking, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now the young woman was very beautiful to behold, a virgin. No man had known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please, let me drink a little water from your pitcher.' So she said, 'Drink, my lord.' Then she quickly let down her pitcher, let her pitcher down to her hand, and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, 'I will draw water for your camels also, until they have finished drinking.' Then she quickly emptied her pitcher into the trough, ran back to the well to draw water, and drew for all her camels. And the man wondered at her, remaining silent as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not." Second thing I think we can learn from Eleazar is that he was watchful. The Bible says, ask. Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find." A lot of times we ask and we never recognize that we receive because we're not looking. And here he's looking, he sees, hey, there's one, and she runs after her. And she asks if she can water the camels too, just like he said. But he holds His peace, he's silent, he watches, is this the one? He waits until she finishes watering all the camels, wondering in himself, has the Lord prospered my way? Has the Lord answered my prayer here? Oh, that we would pray, and oh, that we would be watchful. Is this God's answer to my prayer? Is that what God's calling me to do? Am I to go there? Am I to say that? Am I to talk to that person? What does the Lord have for me today? He was watchful in his prayer. Not only did he ask, but he also sought. Seek and you shall find. Okay, verse 22 through verse 28. So it was, when the camels had finished drinking, that the man took a golden nose ring, weighing half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrists, weighing 10 shekels of gold, and said, whose daughter are you? Tell me, please, is there room in your father's house for us to lodge? So she said to him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, Milcah's son, whom she bore to Nahor. Moreover, she said to him, we have both straw and feed enough and room to lodge. Then the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his mercy and his truth toward my master. As for me, being on the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So the young woman ran and told her mother's household these things. Skip to verse 48. Verse 48 of chapter 24, it says, speaking of the servant, and I bowed my head and worshipped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son. Look at verse 52. And it came to pass when Abraham's servant heard their words that he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Next thing we see about Eleazar is that he worshipped God. When he prayed, he looked for an answer, and when he found an answer, he gave thanks. He just stopped right there in the middle of the near the well, bowed down and worshipped the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, blessed be the God of my father Abraham. You answered. This is you. And all the way through it, later on when she agrees to go, he bows down and worships again. Oh, that we would take the time to thank God and worship him for all that he's done for us along the way. When we recognize his hand, his mercy, his grace, his love, when we see it. I think oftentimes, I know for me, I neglect to thank God, to worship him for what he's done. And when I neglect it, it diminishes it and it doesn't seem to be as significant. I pass it up, I don't focus on it. I don't spend time thinking of it. And then I can walk around and think, what is God answered me? How has God helped me? He's not done much. And yet, when I take the time to think and ponder and look, and God, you are doing a lot. You've answered all my prayers. You've been so faithful. And oftentimes I'm amazed when I take the time. Man, I didn't realize how quickly you did answer my prayer. I didn't even realize that was the answer to my prayer. I think the more attention we pay, the more we recognize. I remember when I was young, learning this lesson. When I was real young, I started reading the Bible every morning. And I had that childlike faith. I didn't understand everything, but I was sure ready to hear something from Jesus. And I had my highlighter, and I'd read, and I'd highlight, and this is what God's telling me, and I pray. And I go through my day. And then I started, in the evening, going back and looking at that. And I was blown away. Because it seemed like every single day it was exactly what I needed. And I go back and, man, if I would have just listened to what I read this morning, I would have fixed my problem. He was trying to warn me. It's right here. And when I would take the time, I would recognize how perfect God was speaking, how perfectly he was speaking to me, answering me, responding, interacting, giving me all that I needed. Here, Eleazar took the time. Right there, he stopped everything. Oh, praise you, Lord. I worship you. You've blessed me. You've answered my prayer. So we learn that he prayed, he watched, and he worshiped. But he also, I think there's one more thing we can learn from him. Look at verse 29 through 33. Now Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban, and Laban ran out to the man by the well. So it came to pass when he saw the nose ring and the bracelet on his sister's wrists, and when he had heard the words of his sister Rebekah, saying, "Thus the man spoke to me," that he went to the man, and there he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, O blessed of the Lord. Why do you stand outside? For I have prepared the house and a place for the camels." Then the man came into the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, "I will not eat until I have told about my errand." And he said, "Speak on. I will not eat until I've told you about my errand." Look at verse 49. "Now if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me," the servant tells the family, "and if not, tell me, and I, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left." Look again at verse 55 and 56. "But her brother and her mother said, 'Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10, after she may go.' And he said to them, 'Do not hinder me.'" The servant said, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." You see, there was something about Eleazar. He didn't want to be hindered or delayed in his mission. He went there, "Hey, let's eat. Let's take care of the camels. Let's hang out." "No, we have to get to business. I got to tell you what my master said. I got to tell you why I'm here, the purpose of my mission." And then as he told them, "She has to come with me back," and they said, "I don't know." He said, "Listen, man, make a decision. I'm not just going to sit around. Tell me so I can go to the right hand or to the left." And then when they said, "Well, let her decide," he said, "Don't hinder me. Don't stop me." Because when we start praying and we start watching and we start worshiping the Lord, there seems to be all these things that will hinder us from continuing in that path. The enemy is genius. And if he can't, if we learn that God's answering our prayer and that God wants to respond, that he likes it when we worship him and praise him, and we start to break through, we start to ask and receive and seek and find, knock, and the doors are open. If the enemy can't convince us that another way is better, he'll distract us with something different. "Oh, keep praying, but let's just take a few minutes for this. Let's just spend some time and fix this problem. Let's just hang out a while." Delay, distraction. But Eleazar, he pushed, and he didn't want to be stopped or hindered. He was relentless. He continued. He had perseverance. "Don't hinder me. I got to keep going. I can't stop. I can't stop for you. I can't wait for you. I have to complete my mission." Oh, that we would learn to continue. Paul said to the Galatians, "You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What stopped you?" Lots of different things can hinder us. Oh, that we would identify them, that we wouldn't be hindered. We would go forward and continue the right way. He prayed. He watched for answers. He worshiped the Lord and thanked God. And he continued. He was relentless. We can learn a lot from Eleazar. We can learn a lot from Abraham. But we can learn, I think, the most in this chapter from Rebekah. Finally, from Rebekah, we're going to look at the pathway to blessings. From Abraham, we see the purpose of blessings, not just for us, but for everyone's benefit. We've seen from Eleazar the practice that God blesses, practical. Practicing blessings, a person that's prayerful, watchful, continuing, a person that's worshipful. But from Rebekah, we learn the correct pathway that will lead us to blessing. And to understand this the best, we need to understand the typology here. This whole story is a picture, and Abraham is a type of God the Father. And he sends his servant, Eleazar, who's a type of the Holy Spirit, to go get a bride for his son Isaac, a type of Jesus. And Rebekah the bride is a type of the church, us. So, understanding that and seeing that in the chapter, we can learn as Rebekah, identify with Rebekah, put ourselves in her shoes. And we can learn the pathway that was offered to her toward blessing. Look at verse 55. "But her brother and her mother said, 'Let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that she may go.' And he said to them, "Do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master." So they said, "We will call the young woman and ask her personally." Then they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become the mother of thousands, of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them." Then Rebekah and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. So here's Rebekah, and they say, hey, she's going to have to make the choice. Let's ask her personally, will you go? Will you leave your family, your homeland, everything you know, and follow this man? Follow the Spirit leading you. Will you go to be a bride of Christ? Will you leave? Will you follow? And she had to make the choice, and she said, I will go. But we see this pathway that leads to blessings. We're going to look at all the blessings that are down there. But we identify, and we're called in the same way. Will you go? Will I go? The pathway is a pathway of reckless abandon and surrender. It's a pathway of following someone else, a pathway of leaving our own ways, our own desires. Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Deny himself. She had to deny everything. He who seeks to save his life will lose it, Jesus said. But he who loses his life for my name's sake will find it. Are you willing to lose it all? Lay it all down. Recklessly abandon everything and follow me. Jesus calling for us to act, step out in faith and believe and follow. Make a choice. And he, just as they said, will ask her personally, will you follow? The Lord gives us each that opportunity personally. And each of us make that choice personally. Will you follow individually, apart from everyone else? Your choice. Will you follow? Identifying with Rebekah, she did. She was willing. But it was worth it. Many blessings in following. Look at verse 32. We're almost done here. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels, water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. We read this. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you about my errand. And he said, speak on. Listen to what he said. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. The Lord has blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. He has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. Now my master made me swear, saying, you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but you shall go to my father's house and to my family and take a wife for my son. So Eleazar, when he was explaining the story to Laban, the brother, he said, listen, I have a master. He's wealthy. He has many herds and flocks and much gold and silver. He's a rich man. And he had one son. And I'm here to find a wife for his one son, whom the master has given all that he has. You see here, Rebekah, listening to what he's saying, it was an easy choice if she believed him. Because she was offering her so much. I have a wealthy master. In comparison to your life, Rebekah, I'm offering you something far greater, much more than you have now. An opportunity to be joined with someone who's heir of all things, all that is my master's. See, if she had faith, if she believed what she heard and did not see, it would be an easy choice. Comparatively, he was offering her something far greater than she had. She was leaving a lot behind. She had to recklessly abandon everything. But oh, she had something she was going to gain that was far better. And so is the case with us. Lose everything Deny yourself. Give everything that you hold to Christ. Let it all go. Cling to nothing. Oh, but He gives you so much more. If we could taste and just get a glimpse of the joy of surrender. It's not a loss for us to surrender. It's never a loss. It's a joke. We give Him nothing. Yes, it's everything to us now. But it's nothing in comparison to what He gives us. And He's just, you got to give up what you got, but I got so much more in store for you. Comparatively. And He explained it. Oh, He's a rich man. Everything He's owned, He's given to Isaac, and Isaac is looking for a bride. Oh, everything. Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Jesus has everything. He is the possessor of all. And He wants us to receive an inheritance from Him. He wants to be joined to us. He's offering us to join Him. He's God. There's nothing to hold on to keep us from that. Comparatively, so much better. By association, she was going to have so many blessings. She was going to marry the heir of all things, the heir of all that Abraham had. It was a good choice. By association, she would be given not only all the possessions, but the promise. You see, it was to Isaac that the land was promised, and through their descendants, the Christ. There was a lot of blessings that she would receive through association, so much better than compared to what she had. A couple of scriptures speak about what is offered to us in Christ. The Bible says, remember, Psalms 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God offers us to come, and there's no lack in Him. The servant said, "Come on, come with me, Rebecca. You ain't ever going to need anything again. There's no lack." David said, Psalms 34, "The young lions suffer hunger, but he who trusts in the Lord will never lack any good thing." Never lack any good thing. Promised to us. Everything for us if we choose to follow. James tells us every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. You see, what we're giving up is not good. There's nothing good that we're giving up. Everything that is good comes from God. And He wants to shower all that on us if we choose Him. Peter, a couple scriptures from Peter telling us all that we have in Christ, all that is offered to us if we choose Him and follow Him as Rebecca did. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Everything that pertains to life and godliness. Some people think, well, yeah, God gives us a lot of stuff, but it's not practical stuff. It's just kind of like hyper-spiritual stuff. No, He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Everything we need is given to us in Christ. The Bible speaks a lot about our inheritance. I've got a half dozen scriptures written down here, but I'll pass on that. I just got one more scripture in Ephesians I'll read. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Every spiritual blessing. God doesn't want to hold anything back from us. It's just necessary for us to surrender and give up control in the things we cling to, not for our loss, but for our gain. He doesn't want to hold anything back. He wants to bless us. Remember in the beginning of the chapter it says that Abraham was blessed in all things. See, that's the end of a life of faith. God wants to bless us. He is many times the very thing we give up, He gives back in a better way. He doesn't want to withhold anything from us. And He certainly wasn't taking advantage of Rebecca. Oh, her choice was for her benefit. A couple more quick points and we're done. Look at verse 53 of chapter 24. It says, "Then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold and clothing and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother." She already had a big nose ring in her nose and a big bracelet. But notice that the blessings were not just promises of where what she would get later, but present blessings. See, God promises us so much. We inherit so much in Christ, but God blesses us today, here, now. He gives us so much, even here in the present. Jesus said in Luke, no one who's given up... Let me read it, because it's a good scripture and I can't quote it verbatim. Luke 18, 29 and 30. The blessings are not only for the future, but for the present also. Jesus said in Luke 18, verse 29 and 30. And it came to pass, when he drew near Bethpage, Bethany, the mount called Olivet, that he sent his two disciples. That's not the chapter. Jesus said in verse 29, and he said to them, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in this present life and in the age to come, eternal life. See, God doesn't want to just make up for it in eternity. He blesses us here in the present. Peace and love and joy and fulfillment and so much more. Oh, what he has in store for us. Blessings for the present. And the servant gave Rebecca many gifts right there. Present blessings. And finally, if we read the rest of the chapter, beginning in verse 61 through verse 67. Then Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer Lehi Roy, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? The servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Okay, speaking of blessings and the things that are offered to us, this takes the cake. This is what it's all about. Jesus. See, yeah, Rebekah had a big inheritance waiting for her. Eventually, Rebecca had a nose ring and some bracelets. None of that compared to her mate, Isaac, and the love he had for her. Our ultimate blessing is Jesus. We will be joined and united with Jesus. And in Christ, we will be totally satisfied and blessed beyond comprehension. And he loves us. And that love is such a blessing. You want to focus on something as a reward or a blessing to come for choosing to follow Christ, and that's Jesus, a connection, receiving, becoming a part of Jesus. What does the Bible speak of this? We're going to end with a few scriptures about this. An amazing concept. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, I know that when we have this treasure in earthen vessels, Christ in us. That's what the real treasure is, the real blessing. We are familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, speaking of love, and the love is going to be the ultimate reward. But it says in verse 12, for now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. Seeing face to face, whose face will we see face to face? 1 John tells us, chapter 3, verse 2. Behold, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The ultimate blessing and reward, one day we're going to see Jesus face to face, and it's going to transform us into his image. We're going to become like Christ. See, that process starts here on earth, but it's only a foreshadowing. We can have the attributes of Christ. Christ lives in us. And we can become like him, but oh, the day when we see him face to face, the process will be completed. And oh, it will be glorious. And oh, what blessing it will be. Oh, what reward it will be when we are united with Christ. Revelations tells us to one of the churches that he who overcomes will be given the morning star, speaking of Jesus. But it all leads up to, the Bible talks about a marriage. The marriage supper of the Lamb, Revelations chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife, us, has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. See, it likens it. Our union with Christ is likened to a marriage. That's what we're waiting for. That's the ultimate reward in blessing, is being united with Christ. As Rebecca was united with Isaac, and he loved her, he will love us and transform us. So, what can we learn from this chapter? We can learn from Abraham that blessings are for the benefit of all. Not to hoard, but whatever God has given us, to use it for the greater good and for the benefit of all. We can learn from Eliezer to pray more. God, what do you want? Prosper my way. Help me to be effective. Help me to be a part of your purpose. We can learn from Eliezer to watch. God, I'm going to be looking for that answered prayer. I'm going to be looking for what you want me to do today. We can learn from Eliezer to worship God and thank him for what he's done, and to continue and not be hindered or stopped. We can learn from Rebecca to follow, to abandon all and make the choice to go to Christ. And we can be excited about all the blessings that are in store for us, especially the union with Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and I pray that you would effectively communicate to our hearts, and that you'd help us identify your voice. And we thank you for the many blessings you've given us and the many blessings you offer us. We pray that we would not hold on to anything, but we would follow you, that we would deny ourselves, that we would abandon and lose our lives for your sake, like Rebecca. We pray, Lord, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, lead us down that road. We look forward to what you have in store for us. And we love you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.